Hello, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Getting to Know You. I'm your host, Jen Dawson, and with me today, I'm pleased to introduce you to Dr. Kalyani Marathe. Dr. Marathe is a pediatric dermatologist and is the division director of Division of Dermatology at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, associate professor at the University of Cincinnati Department of Pediatrics. She has authored and co-authored several publications and is a longtime PEDR member. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Marathe.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Great. So I've had a chance to get to know you a little bit at our PEDR meetings, and I know how much energy and passion you have for your role. But what I don't know is how you started your journey. Could you take us back to when you began your career in medicine and what led you to pediatric dermatology and research? Let's hear from you.
Absolutely. So my father is a physician. He's a nephrologist for adults. And I just remember growing up seeing the way that he interacted with his patients and this reverence that they felt for him, this true connection that he had with his patients. And I remember always thinking that was really special. When I got to college, I realized that I really loved science, but I also loved English literature. Well, I became an English major, but did all of my pre-med. I had to do all the Brit Lit that I wanted to do. And in med school, I really found my passion for dermatology. I just, it's such a unique field. You get to do, there's so many things that you can focus on. You can do from the diagnosis of the patient all the way to, treatment. You can do biopsies, you can do surgeries, you can read the path yourself. I mean, there's just so many cool things that you can do. It's like the best field for somebody who's super nerdy but is a real people person. So it really worked out well for me. And then when I was in residency, I had an amazing mentor, Dr. Judy Williams at Children's Hospital of King's Daughters in Norfolk. And she's incredible. She's an amazing clinician. And her diagnostic skills were just so awesome. We would walk out of a room and she would say, "Did you notice that the mom had such and such?" And did you notice her fingernails or whatever? And I was like, this is like being a detective. It's so cool. And you get to hang out and snuggle with little cute kids all day. It's like the best thing. So at some point, I was like, I could do this every day. Like, I could just do this all the time and be happy and see kids and really get to do something very special. So to me, that it was just awesome. So then did my fellowship and I was in DC for 5 years. And then I got this opportunity to come to Cincinnati. And it's been quite a roller coaster. It's very exciting. Then, of course, then COVID hit and that changed everything a little bit complicated. But it's been really fun. And this is a, it's been a great institution for me to get to know. And I get to sort of build my own division the way I want to. And that's really
That's
cool.
great. Oh, that's so exciting. I
Yeah.
love that you've just had English literature pass and wanting to be a medical student at the same time, being inspired by your father growing up in a household with a physician and then being inspired by your mentor. Like that is one common thread I hear from all of our folks in our network is how they became inspired by their mentors. And I think that's such a big deal. And it's so cool that so many people have remained connected to their mentors.
Oh, yes.
So, I guess how did you like what area of focus do you like? Was that inspired by your mentor? Like, what do you focus on?
Yeah. So my area of interest in research is vulvar disease and pediatrics. And that happened purely, honestly, by a little bit of luck. And then again, meeting another amazing magnetic person that really just inspired me. So that was at Children's National in DC. When I started that job, my boss at the time said, "Do you have any interest in doing our vulvar clinic? We have a great pediatric and adolescent gynecologist here who wants to work with us." And we've just been noticing some interesting things with, lichen sclerosis in kids. And I was like, "Well, sure, I'm open for anything. I'll try." I had no interest really in vulvar disease at the time. And then I met this woman, Veronica Gomez Lobo, who is She's a pediatric and adolescent gynecologist. She's now at the NIH, but she was the, fellowship director for their fellowship. And she and I did this joint vulvar diseases clinic, and it was just so amazing. It was so inspirational. I learned so much from her. You know, every clinic, we were able to teach each other things. We were constantly learning. We were thinking, you know, about big projects that we wanted to do. And she just really inspired me to want to do more. And it just made that, I think, that area so interesting for me. So now that I'm at Cincinnati Children's, I've actually started a vulvar derm clinic with a pediatric and adolescent gynecologist here. So we've been doing it now. It's been a year. It's been going really well. We've got lots of, you know, projects that we're working on and new coming up with new ideas all the time. And it just is, you know, such an understudied area right now. And we don't know. And sometimes this girl parents have so many questions that we just don't have the answers. So
Absolutely.
I want to be able to give them some answers. I want to be able to say, oh, you know, we've looked at 500 girls like your daughter, and this is what we found. Or, you know, these are different treatment things that we have tried, and this is what's worked and this is what hasn't worked. And we just don't have that information yet. But that's what I really want to get for these families.
I love that. I love that your research is really driven by giving your families a hope. Like, there is hope for knowing what's going on here. There's hope for treating it. And that is such a, I feel like, a really great place to come at research, right? Because you're passionate. You won't let it go. You know, it becomes your baby that you just like, I have to know this.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. So with your research focus, what brought you to PDRA? How'd you get started with PDRA?
No, I had been attending the SPD for a long time, and that was where I really found my people. That would, you know, the big AAD, you feel like you're, you know, drowning. It's just so many people and it's a lot of chaos. But when I first went to my first SPD meeting, I was like, oh my gosh, this is my tribe. These are the people like that I've belonged with this whole time. And it felt really like, it felt like such a natural fit. So then, you know, just thinking about all of these orphan diseases that we take care of, when I found out that PDRA was an organization that was working just on doing this more collaborative style of research, it made so much sense to me. And the nice thing about PDRA, the thing that I really love, is that it's truly collaborative. Everybody is really helping each other, and there's no egos, there's none of this like sort of territorial nature. Everybody's really trying to help each other. The more senior researchers are really mentoring junior researchers. There's a lot of opportunities to grow. You know, the educational sessions really stuck with me over the years. So I found that it was a really helpful place for me to, you know, feel comfortable asking really dumb questions. How do I get an IRB started? How do I, you know, do a you know, data use, do the data sharing agreement? Like, how do I do all of this stuff that, you know, with no judgment, and with just a really open atmosphere, people that are really curious, that are excited about learning new things, that are open-minded, you know, and ready to look at new perspectives. I think that that's really special and different. So it feels really good to be a part of an organization like that, where, you know, everybody's really in it. Everybody's really in it for the right reason. I also like that the patient advocacy groups play such a role, such an important role, because then you really see the impact that you're having. You see, like, what is the direct patient impact of this disease? And we see that every day in our clinics. But I think that the patient advocacy groups do such a good job of, like, clarifying the message, really, you know, streamlining it so that it's very clear. They are able to bring in such a diversity of perspectives too. So I think that all of those things have made PDRA really a very helpful organization for me to be a part of. And I've gotten to learn so many things from so many different people, just about research in general, but also how to think critically about research.
Wait, so many things to talk about there. I mean, I totally agree. Like, people will ask me what happens at the PDRA meeting, and it's almost indescribable, because you get there, and from, you know, an outsider, I'm not an MD, I'm not a researcher, I get to sort of sit back and watch all of these incredible personalities and luminaries in the fields and up and coming residents, fellows, medical students, early careers, and everybody is all intermixed. And the energy is just a buzz. Like, it's a palpable feeling when you're there. And it's so hard to describe. But I think you're really right. I think it's really special that there isn't that kind of ego component in the research collaborative. And I think we're actually getting a lot of really good work done because of that very thing. And I'm so glad you brought up the advocacy group. So you talked a little bit about it, but like, how have patients shaped your career and shaped your view of the diseases that you're treating?
You know, two things. I think one, the having the continuity with patients is a huge draw for me in medicine. But seeing their sort of daily struggles and their, you know, what their concerns are, and really getting a feel for, like, oh, this time it's their, you know, their feet that are the issue, and not being able to walk. Like, what are the functional impairments? But this is from a skin disease. You know, just thinking about that more broadly, you know, I'm taking care of a lot of EB, patients with EB, and I think that they have made a huge impact on me, because thinking about the whole family impact that some of these skin diseases can have, it's really far reaching. I'm really inspirational. I feel like patients and families are so brave. They're so courageous. They're, you know, they want to participate in clinical trials. They want to try new treatments. It's sometimes what we do is experimental. You know, we don't know what's going to work for a certain patient. We don't always have a magic bullet treatment for something. And so they are often really take a very open mind and a lot of graciousness from them to try new things, knowing that not everything is going to work. So that, I think, collaboration, that relationship is really important. And then becoming a parent myself, I think, has made a huge impact on me, because I see everything in a different light. Now I see everything as a parent, and I think about, oh, well, this is for my child. What would I want to do? It's changed, like, from small things to, oh, 3 times a day dosing when you have a 6-month-old is not feasible. It's really difficult for a parent to do anything 3 times a day when you have a young child, like that. To, like, more complicated things, like, what, you know, the long-term effect of using a biologic medication. Would I put my own child on this medication? I'm always thinking about that. Like, how many blood draws do I want to put this child through? Like, you know, having my child blood drawn once, but it impacted me so much. So it's like this wide range of things that have really turned me into a better doctor, but into a more conscientious doctor, just thinking more about the whole child, the whole family, how does it impact everyone? And it's really hard. And you just have to, sometimes you have to sit back and listen and just ask the questions and let them tell you really what's going on with them. And that can be, sometimes we don't have a lot of time. Sometimes we end up spending a lot of time, you know, doing things via phone or responding to my chart messages. And it can feel very disconnected. But I think putting in that extra time or making that extra phone call, it ends up making a big impact on the family. And then it makes a big impact on me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm changing with every one of these interactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that connection is really important, and that bond that you have with your patients and vice versa is so important to treating the children, but just making them feel comfortable with whatever it is that's happening. I mean, it's scary. Like, when you're a parent, this is scary stuff, you know, no matter how big or small the situation is. And so I love that you have taken in and learned from your patients, and that you're, you know, feeling that and becoming better. I think that's so cool. So it wouldn't be Getting to Know You if I didn't ask. I would love to know one thing that's interesting about you. So it could be a hobby, a hidden talent. Tell us something everyone knows.
Well, when I knew that I was going to be a pediatric dermatologist, before I started my fellowship, I learned how to make balloon art. I was like, this is going to be great. So if you can make it through this biopsy, I'm going to make you a monkey holding a banana, which, by the way, I can make. That's very cute. And it was like a little passion project. So it's really fun and I really enjoyed it. Turns out the best quality balloons are actually made of latex. So most hospitals are latex free. So it ended up not really serving my patients well. But, you know, I have this like little extra skill. So in case medicine doesn't work out, like I could take up clowning. Like, I don't know. I've got the hair. I'm ready. Love that. What fantastic hidden talent. You know, we're going to call you up for a new entertainment session at the next Fever Music. It will be an awful lot of
Oh, thank you so much for
joining me, Dr. Marate. It was so fun talking to you and getting to know you. And thank you for all your hard work within PEDRA and within all the things you're doing in Cincinnati. We so appreciate you.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really glad that we're doing this.